BDR's Prime Partners podcast delivers insight on services, resources, and business practices that can help your company succeed faster. Listen and learn for ways to take your company forward.
Welcome to the Prime Partners podcast. I'm Tyler Gunhus, BDR's Senior Marketing Communications Specialist. Today, we are joined on the podcast by a very special guest as we discuss how to anticipate new opportunities to gain a competitive advantage. Daniel Burris is considered one of the world's leading futurists on global trends and disruptive innovation. The New York Times has referred to him as one of the top three business gurus in the highest demand as a speaker. Burris is an innovative entrepreneur who's founded six businesses, four of which were U.S. national leaders in the first year. He is CEO of Burris Research, a research and consulting firm that monitors global advancements and technology-driven trends to help clients profit from technological, social, and business forces that are converging to create enormous untapped opportunities. He's also the author of seven books, including the New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestseller Flash Foresight, and his latest book, The Anticipatory Organization, is an Amazon number one bestseller. Daniel, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you. A real pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, excited to get to talk. You had such an incredible impact on a number of people at our conference this year, at our Spark conference, where you spoke as our closing keynote. And we just couldn't pass up the opportunity getting a few more nuggets out of you and sharing not only just with the people who are at our conference, but as well as those who weren't able to join us. I'd love to start off, as we introduced you there, as a futurist. I think that might be a term that's a little unfamiliar with a lot of people. Can you give us a little insight? What is a futurist?
Well, in a way, all of us are futurists because whenever you make a prediction of the future, you're kind of being a futurist. But if you're going to be a professional futurist, you have to have a methodology. You have to be right, at least enough to get people to listen to you. And I've been doing this now for, 40 years. Seven books, thousands of articles, and consulting and speaking all over the world. So I think I've established myself having a really great track record of being right about where things are going. And one of the reasons I was excited to speak to the all of the home service industry leaders is that there is more opportunity today than ever before to not just change, but actually transform products and services, how we market, how we sell, how we communicate, how we collaborate, how we innovate, how we train. We're at a unique point in time that we've never been before. And I don't want us in this industry to squander that. Because you might think, well, you know, we're not really a tech company. I know that we're, you know, putting in some wireless things in homes and we've got solar and we've got, you know, different heat pumps and things that we do like that. But we're just at the dawn of what you can really offer in terms of new products and new services, along with your traditional ones. It's quite exciting.
That is very exciting. I think all of us are excited as well and walked away from the conference this year that you got to speak to us at with a renewed sense of, I like the idea of all of us being futurists in some sense. We defer to the professionals, absolutely, but really like the idea that we can all look ahead with that. So you talked about this idea and your title at our conference this year was The Anticipatory Contractor, and your newest book, Anticipatory Organization, gets into this. But can you give us an overview of what it means to be anticipatory rather than just reactionary?
Well, actually, you hit it right there. I did not call my last book The Reactionary Organization. Why? Well, everybody already is. I'm trying to help you with what we're not doing very well. Rather than just being agile, which, by the way, we need to be, but agile came from sports. It's reacting as quickly as you can to a problem after it occurs. It's reacting as quickly as you can to a disruption after it disrupts. But look, we're in a new point in time right now. We can't just be reaction and reactionary. We have to learn to be anticipatory. That is, how to anticipate problems before you have them so you can pre-solve them. I mean, how many times have all of us said, I knew that would happen? And I would say, well, then why did you let it? Right? And so a lot of the problems that you're going to be experiencing in a year or two, you can actually identify today and eliminate them, pre-solve them. Most of us don't. But if you're anticipatory, you realize the power of that. And when it comes to disruptive technology, like AI, for example, now we have more opportunity than ever to be able to use that to our advantage. And as you know, Tyler, from my presentation to really help people become anticipatory, I look at trends. And when you look at all trends, you can put them into one of two columns. This is based on a methodology that I've proven over the years and shared with that audience and now sharing with your audience. And that is that trends are either a hard trend based on a future fact. By the way, that means it can't be changed. Or it's a soft trend based on an assumption that may or may not happen. Now, I didn't say it won't happen, but when it comes to innovation, it makes a big difference whether you are certain or uncertain, because strategy based on uncertainty has high risk. On the other hand, strategy based on certainty has low risk and high reward. So instead of looking at all the things I'm not certain about, why don't we get a big list of things we are certain about? Let me give you a couple quick examples for those that were not in that audience, because I'm sure there are quite a few people here that were not there. We went from 3G wireless to 4G wireless to 5G wireless. Is that it? Well, no. We're going to go to 6G wireless followed by 7 and 8. By the way, am I certain? Absolutely. And do we even know when? Yeah, go back to the old exponential curve, Moore's Law. He came up with that back in the 60s, and it's been true and still going strong, where you can see exactly when 6G will come out and 7G, by the way, faster than 5G and 4G, because it's driving up at 2 becomes 4 becomes 8. That's that exponential curve, Mark. And we're putting a lot in the cloud. Well, is the cloud getting full? No. And a lot of us are worried about AI. Could we just stop AI from happening, make it go away? And the answer is no. It's accelerating it beyond exponential rates. It's not the tool, it's how you use the tool, or not. So what I want us to realize is that AI, as well as other tools, whether it's IoT, Internet of Things, where we're datafying everything and making things intelligent in the home, whether it's plumbing, whether it's heating, whether it's air conditioning, doesn't matter. We're adding sensors so that we're getting data so that we can do predictive maintenance and all sorts of things that were impossible before. And we've just begun that journey. But back on AI, as you know from that audience, I shared tools, specific tools that they could use and use them with confidence. Now, I'm not going to have time in this interview to go through all of those. I'll give you some examples. But if you go to AIStrategyReport.com, you can download that list for free, AIStrategyReport.com. What I did is I reviewed over 1,000 AI tools in the last 12 months and came up with the top five in a number of categories that we can use to do a lot more in a lot less time. And in some cases, things that we didn't even know we could do. I'm giving you the top five in all these categories with examples of how companies are using them to gain new competitive advantage. For example, let's say you need to create a website. Actually, there's an app for that now, an AI app that you could even draw out on a napkin what you'd want the different screens to look like, and then turn that and scan it, turn it into a PDF, and it'll create that for you. Whoa, didn't know you could do that. Maybe, excuse me, you're wanting to try to attract some younger generations to work for your company. And of course, if you want to really find them, you got to go where they reside, which is in social media. Well, I shared the five best tools to create videos. And by the way, these tools are either free or very low fee. I mean, you don't need a lot of money to do this, and you don't need to be a programmer. Or you can type in what you want the person to say, and you can pick either male or female. You can make them Hispanic or Caucasian, whatever you want, any language, by the way, you'd like. And they can actually say exactly what you want them to say. They can show graphics and charts. You can actually make that in an hour. And by the way, you don't have to hire talent to do it. And that's just one quick example. There are so many that I could give you. It's amazing. So Take a look at AIStrategyReport.com because that'll save us a lot of time going through all of those. But my point is, it was mind-blowing. Well, you were there, and you know that when I first started talking about AI, you probably had some idea of what you could do with it. But when I was finished in there, I bet you were definitely expanded. How did it affect you?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And as we've been using AI in our marketing department now for at least almost a year now. And so it's just crazy to see how something new comes up every week, every month. It was awesome to see people lean into that. You did the trends report for us at Spark, had attendees list what was the hard trend that was going to impact them the most. The number one trend, or one of the number one trends that showed up on there that people identified, was that AI was going to be part of their business going forward. But I think a lot of people came away from that saying, okay, maybe I need to develop more of a curiosity towards this. Maybe I need to find somebody in my business who maybe speaks technology a little more than I do, and kind of cut them loose on it. If you were going to pick one place that if a person just starting from zero was going to start with AI, where would that be?
Well, first of all, if you're leading your organization, your company, and I don't care how small you are, if you haven't gone and used, for example, ChatGPT, there are other tools, but that still is really one of the best right at the moment. You don't get it, and you need to get it. You need to understand what it can do. So you go to chat.openai.com, get a free account, and then pay the $20 a month and get the upgraded version. It's a bargain, probably one of the best things you'll ever do in terms of $20 a month. And then just start playing with it, and all of a sudden, you will see very powerful things. I'll give you an example. I had an executive of a mid-sized company, and he said that our biggest customer was upset with us, sent me an email, and he was really upset. And this is our biggest customer. And I was about to write a response to him, and I thought, well, let me just bounce it off of ChatGPT. So he put the person's email into ChatGPT and said, how should I respond? And it wrote out a response, and he liked it so well. He said, man, this is so good. He sent it just like it was. And within 30 minutes, that customer actually called him and was now happy. Now that the executive told me, I could have crafted that myself, but it would have taken me 2 hours. This thing took me 30 seconds, freeing that executive to do something else. Well, how are you going to do more with less every year and get to know your family? Well, frankly, you aren't, unless you're starting to use some tools. So here's a tip for everyone right now. Whatever you're trying to do, throw it into chat first and see what it says. And as I said in my presentation, and I'll say now, it will not get you 100% there. It'll get you 80% there fast, not 100%. See, we still need humans in this world because it learned off the internet. There's going to be some things that are accurate, some things that are not accurate. You got to separate the wheat from the chaff. It's not written in your voice. It's written in the voice of AI, which is really good, but it's still not you. And you don't want people saying, oh, that doesn't sound like Tom. That doesn't sound like Jane. You want it to be from you. But what you'll find is some jewels and some gems. And you already said, you know, when it comes to marketing, it's amazingly good. It's one of the sweet spots. By the way, another thing that's a sweet spot for it is coding, making code. If you've got software you got to write, holy cow, you have been given a gift from the heavens because it's great at it. It can even debug software. And again, these are just a few of the things that it can do. So, there was an old Star Trek that the bad guy said, resistance is futile. And some of you might remember that Star Trek. It was the Borg one. And in reality, it is. I mean, so will humans be replaced by AI? And my answer is humans will be replaced by humans using AI. Mm-hmm. We need us humans, but it can help us to do things faster and analyze things in ways that we could never have been able to do without a lot more time spent.
Well, and it reminds me too that when I first started in a career as like growing as a manager and having people to report to me, I remember somebody spoke into my life and said, use the people who you're going to surround yourself with to do the things that you don't want to do or the things that are going to add time to your day that is not a good spend of your time. And now as we kind of move into this phase and this era of AI, it almost feels like that's another person almost in our company that we're bringing on. And for using ChatGPT, we're paying them $20 a month. That's a pretty good deal, I think, to get someone who, in your example, the guy writing the email to responding to his best right. customer. That's something, yeah, he could have taken the time to do. He could have delegated that to as well, but he brought together the resources that he had to make that happen. It feels like we're going to have these almost mini resources working at our company that as long as we're communicating with them properly, because that's the key in all of this, is we still have to be able to communicate on a human level to the machines that are going to be doing this work.
Exactly. And so there's a couple of key things that I think are important for us to understand. Number one, all trends are either a hard trend that will happen, or they're a soft trend that might happen. And secondly, a trend by itself is academic and boring. Who cares? Until you attach an opportunity to it. The minute you attach an opportunity to it, it bursts into actionable life. And as you know, towards the end of my speech at the Spark conference, I had everyone spend 2 minutes writing down, this entire group, write down a hard trend and a related opportunity right now. And I gave them 2 minutes. Well, of course, each person just wrote down one, but we had a room full of people writing down one. It all fed into me. I created a report out of it, gave it back to them. And we created an amazing amount in just 2 minutes. And I just pulled up that report in front of me right here. And when it's the hard trend, as you mentioned, one of them was increasing use of AI. Well, here's some of the opportunities that were identified. Remember, this was like within about 90 seconds. Using ChatGPT for marketing now. Good idea. Integration of AI into the company now, using that some of those tools that I shared with them. Great idea. Using AI for 24/7 customer help and assistance with email communications. Excellent idea. Use AI to automate repetitive tasks so that our people are freed and have more time to do the more important tasks. Excellent idea. Using AI to write procedures and optimize workflows. Great, fantastic. Now, I could go on and on and on. It was a huge list. And here's what you have to understand. If you don't do it, someone else will. If you're not doing it, you know what I'm going to tell you? Your competitors are going to be doing it. You're going to be left behind. So the cost of what I call the no, meaning I'll think I'll wait and see. Today, you could wait and see yourself right out of business. And people need what we do. People have homes. They have needs. And we can grow our businesses in amazing new ways. And by the way, hard to find talent, hard to attract talent, hard to keep talent. Well, you know, you'll find there are amazing ways that even chats can give you ideas of how you can help because it keep and attract talent. For example, I even asked it not long ago with home services, what are the best way to attract the different generations, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, millennials, to work in plumbing or electricians, you know, or heating, air, HVAC. I mentioned the specifics. And wow, it created a really great list. And I would say out of what it created on ways of attracting them, I would say maybe 40% of those ideas were okay. However, there was about 20% that were brilliant, usable, fully good. See, again, I'm not going to rely on AI to do it all for me. What I'm looking for are the jewels, and it saves a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, so love that. I love how you're using it. And I think it's a really inspiring thing for people out there who are maybe just starting out and know they need to dip their toe further in the water with this, because as you mentioned, resistance is futile. It's not going anywhere. I think we could probably all confidently say that the hard trend is AI will be here tomorrow, and it will be here the day after, and it's going to be more advanced, and so we're going to see something new that we haven't seen before. What I want to ask you just really quickly on this idea of hard trends and soft trends, is every trend, is every disruption, every change, everything that we experience, is that an opportunity, or is it like, do we have to filter through what we see going on to make sure that we're chasing down the right things instead of, hey, this might be a trend, this might be a disruption, but it might not have the impact that another one might?
Well, first of all, if it has the word might in it, it's probably a soft trend.
Okay.
If it has the word will in it, now we're talking about a hard trend. So, and by the way, remember, I like both. Why do I like soft trends? If I don't like them, I can change them. Mm. So hard trends lets you see the future before it happens, and soft trends gives you the opportunity to influence something in a positive direction that might even seem negative. For example, I just can't get young people to want to work for me, and it looks like that's going to get worse. Well, that's a soft trend. Mm. That's a soft trend. How could you change that? What's the opportunity in that? Well, instead of protecting and defending the status quo of what I've always done, what I need to be doing is trying to transform my home service business using these new tools. And you know what? I need some young people to help me out. Well, I could get young people excited about it. Or I could ride it out. So I want us to actively shape our future rather than passively receive it. Hmm. And one other little thing that you mentioned in there that I think is important, and that is, whether it's change or disruption or anything new, it's part of how we perceive it. When something bad happens, something good just happened. Have you noticed? By the way, when something good happens, something bad probably happened too. Have you noticed? I like to always look at both sides of the coin. So when there's a new government regulation out there, and you start looking at all the things you don't like about it, by the way, you'll get an endless list, and that's the farthest you'll go. Start with what you do like about it. Where might there be some funding? Where might there be a way for me to get that underwritten for me? And all of a sudden, you see some great things. So I think change, by the way, if you don't like change, you're not going to like the future. I think every one of you listening, hear me on this, I think you need to make change your best friend. Because if it's not, could be your worst enemy.
Yeah, well, I love that. And obviously spoken like a true futurist, somebody who is constantly looking for those changes, looking for those opportunities. Daniel, we just have a couple of minutes left here, but want to give you an opportunity. Right after the conference, you sent us all a link to your website and could download some of the resources on that. Just what are some other ways that people can learn more about you and learn more about some of the things that you're doing and the resources that you offer businesses out there?
Yeah, well, you could go to my website, which is easy, Burrus, and it's burrus.com. And I have blogs there. Actually, I've written thousands of blogs, so you can actually search them by subject. You could do that. That doesn't cost you anything. I've got my annual report that I put out of the 25 most important technologies that are shaping the future that you can download on that site and not have to pay anything. You have the report that I mentioned on AI. You can download that. I have an anticipatory organization learning system, an anticipatory leader learning system that are award winners. Check that out if you want to learn more. I would also suggest maybe getting my latest book, The Anticipatory Organization. It has been a bestseller, and I think if you liked at all anything that I talked about, I think you could find that a great place to go. One last thing, join me on LinkedIn. Just go find Daniel Burrus. I've got, I think, 1.2 million followers, and I think the reason I have so many is I'm constantly sharing some great ideas that people can implement and use. So join the conversation.
We see the LinkedIn one. That's relevant for us too, because somebody in our organization sent me an email just last week and was like, hey, did you see this post from Daniel? Like, we should be checking this thing out. So I can highly recommend following Daniel on LinkedIn, because it's constantly generating new ideas for us and new things, the way that we're thinking about things. So, well, Daniel, I want to end with one final question. And this was, I think, a really important capstone for our the talk that you gave at our conference this year. But if you were to pick just one thing that every business owner out there could start doing to move from that reactionary to anticipatory mindset, what would that be? What would that suggestion be for business out there listening?
Right. I think what I would like you to do is to ask yourself, what are those hard trend future facts that I know will happen? It's the beginning of a journey. You haven't started doing that yet. But the more you do that, the more you'll see. There's thousands of things you can be certain about once you start really exploring it. But remember, you have to tie it to an opportunity. And you will get a list. But big lists never get done. So what you need to do is to boil it down. Get rid of all the things you should be doing and could be doing. You'll never get to those. What I'd like you to do is to pick one thing that you have decided you must do, because the downside of not doing it is too great. And then take action. Because just thinking about it isn't good enough. A wait and see isn't good enough. We need to take action today and know that we can all shape a better future for ourselves and for others. So let's do that.
That sounds like a great, great direction for all of us to be heading. So Daniel, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time here.
You got it.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone out there listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you again soon.